I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I will make your faith strong. I will make your faith last long. I will make your faith move mountains. I will make your faith shake the kingdom of darkness. Through faith, you can do anything and everything. So let my faith work in you. Live and move by my faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you love the word, say yes. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. And I want to help you receive tonight. God's got some things that he wants to get to you. And so we're going to learn how we can become enhanced receivers. How many want to be an enhanced receiver? I mean, you can't help but receive from God. And, you know, you want to be a person that the blessings of God are just trying to chase you down. Amen? And you can't run fast enough to get away from them. So we're going to talk about some things that are going to enhance our receiving, our ability to receive from God. You know, receiving from God is important. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, we're going to begin there. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." What did you receive? The spirit which is of God, or God's spirit, okay? Why did you receive the Spirit? He tells you right here. That we might know the things. Everybody say things. Aren't you glad he didn't say thing? That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Did you know that God's given you some things? Did you know that he's freely given you some things? How much did salvation cost you? How much did healing cost you? How much does peace cost you? How much does joy cost you? It doesn't cost us anything, does it? Why? Because we have a God who freely gives us things. And in order to have the things that he freely gives us, we need to know what he's given us, right? And he's given us such an awesome help, the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Now, in order for you to enhance your receiving, you have to understand the giving nature of God. So I'm going to share some things that reveal the nature of God and how it is to give. And then we're going to go and see how we can enhance our receiving. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is going to be a good Bible study tonight. I want everybody to be a Bible junkie like me. Now these verses, it's okay to get excited, because they're really exciting verses. Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Who's included in this? All of us, right? "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Does that get you excited? I mean, think about this for a minute. If someone is going to give their only son as a gift to the world, he's not going to spare anything. If he's going to do that for the world, don't you think that, I mean, that reveals that he is a giver. Say, our God is a giver. I mean, it is his nature to give. And these verses are going to tell us how he gives. He gives freely. He gives to all, okay? He wants everybody to benefit. Okay, go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. See, when you understand that God is a giver, it's a lot easier to receive from God whatever it is that you need. When you know that he's a giver, see, if you know that God is a giver, then you can ask him for things because it's his nature to give. It boosts your faith in receiving. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Psalm 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Is the sun a giver? Now, he didn't use S-O-N. He used S-U-N. What do we get from the sun? Light. What else? Warmth, right? It makes things grow, doesn't it? Okay, so he's a sun and he's a shield. When God gives you things, he wants those things that he gives you to be protected. So he's a shield, okay? Now notice this. For the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. See, God does not withhold any good thing to those. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It means to walk in righteousness. It means to do what's right in his sight. And guess what? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of us have been enabled to walk uprightly before God. And our God is a sun and shield. He will give grace. Grace is his ability. Grace is his power. Grace is his strength. Grace is his favor. Grace is his goodness. He will give grace and glory. He'll give his glory to them. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. There's not one good thing that's being withheld from you. Because our God is a giver of good. What kind of things does God give? Good things. He'll never give you anything that harms you. He'll never give you anything that hurts you. He'll never give you anything. He's not an Indian giver. I don't even know. I mean, they use that term, but I don't even like the term. But it's someone who gives something but takes it back. You ever encounter someone like that? They want to give you something, but you know, they got claw marks. You know, they want to give it to you, but you can't get it from their hands, right? God's not that way. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if you're walking uprightly, you qualify for every good thing that God has. And he is not going to withhold it from you. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. What am I doing? I'm priming the pump. We're about to hit a gusher in the receiving well, but I'm priming the pump right now. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. When the Bible refers to them that are rich, you say, I better pay attention to this. You didn't get that. You don't see yourself as rich. Let's look at this again. Charge them that are rich in this world. Say he's talking to me. We got to get a picture of ourselves being rich, okay? That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Isn't it awesome that you can be rich and trust in the living God? Well, when you think of the patriarchs, was Abraham poor? You can't be poor if you have 318 servants in your house. Was Isaac poor? No. He grew so rich that he became richer than Abimelech, and Abimelech said, you're more mighty than I, you got to leave. When the king is jealous of your riches, you're rich. Come on now. Do you realize no one ever was nor ever will be as rich as Solomon was? That's what the Bible says. No one before or no one after will be as Solomon was rich. Now, he followed God in the beginning. David was rich. Okay? Jacob was rich. Matter of fact, Jacob was accused of taking Laban's wealth. His son said it, and Laban said it. My point is that we come from a rich heritage. Okay? Now notice this. So we can trust in the living God. Notice the last part. Who gives us how? Richly in what? All things to what? Do you mean God just wants to give you things richly so that you can enjoy them? Does God care about whether or not you enjoy life? What kind of life did he come to give us? An abundant life. Abundant, overflowing, more than enough, too rich life. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, how are you going to get that abundance? You're going to be a receiver. You're going to receive from God's goodness. You're going to receive from God's faithfulness. You're going to be a receiver. A receiver gets things. Okay? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So the person who lacks wisdom is the one supposed to ask. For ask God. That gives to who? How? Liberally. And abradeth not, and it shall be. Did you know that our God's a liberal? He's not a liberal like you think. I mean, we just had elections, and we got, in our minds, we think of what a liberal is. No, our God is liberal. He's lavish. He gives to all men liberally, abundantly, lavishly, and he abrades not. That word abrade means he doesn't hold back. Say, our God is too good. Say, my God is too good to me. When anybody asks you, who do you worship? You say, I worship a good God, and he's good to me. Did you know that you got to have faith in God's goodness? Our God is good. Our God is not bad. Our God is good. He does good things. He gives good gifts. And notice, he gives liberally to all men. Anybody who asks him, if you ask God for wisdom, he'll give you more than what you ask for. He is able, I love what it says in Ephesians, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Because that's how good God is. God's goodness is off the charts. Okay? What are we doing? We're laying the foundation of what kind of a giver God is. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The easiest preaching ever is when you let the Bible do the talking. Matthew 7:11. Jesus is talking here. You think Jesus knows anything about the Father? You think he knows some things about the kingdom? Notice what he says about his Father. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Do evil people know how to give good gifts? Absolutely. I mean, I know people who don't follow the Lord, but they can give some really good gifts. Okay? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. I like what he says, though. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give what? To who? To them that ask. Say, my Father is a giver of good things. And all I have to do is to ask him, and he'll give me good things. Notice he said ask. He didn't say go around complain why you don't have it. But that's what we do sometimes, right? We see someone get a good gift, and instead of rejoicing, we get upset. Well, I never got anything like that. Well, I can understand why. You just told me why you don't get anything like that. It's because of your attitude. All right? Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. Is there any truth that he won't guide you into? If you allow him to guide you, he will guide you into all truth. That's a lot of truth, isn't it? Have we entered into all truth? No, we haven't. That means there is truth for us to discover about things, about life, about his kingdom. There's still truth that we need to come into. Well, the Holy Spirit is, he's like the transfer agent of good things from heaven. He's like, when you buy a piece of real estate, you go to the transfer agent, don't you? And they do a test or a, you know, they see if anybody else owns that property, right? To make sure it's free and clear. Then when it's free and clear and you pay the money, they transfer the title deed into your name. Well, the Holy Spirit now, he is heaven's transfer agent. And he makes sure he transfers what heaven has to your account. He makes sure that there's a smooth transfer, a smooth transition, so that you can now take ownership of all of heaven's good things. Okay, isn't that awesome? So our God is good. Our God is a liberal, lavish giver. Our God gives good things. Our God gives good things to them who ask him. Our God will give, he wants us to enjoy things. All good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning, there's no variance. Can you understand? Can you see that God is good? Okay, now we need to know how we can enhance our receptivity. Okay, I'm so glad that you came tonight so that you can become expert receivers. What does that mean? That means anything that you need, you have the ability to receive from God. Okay, listen, because our God is a giver, he is looking for someone to receive. And he does everything in his power to help us receive because he's a giver. Givers want to give, and givers aren't happy until they can give. So givers need to, they look for people to give. God is looking for some people that he can give some good things to. Some things that he won't hold back on. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, these are in no particular order, but I found that these are some things that will enhance your receiving. Okay? Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many want to eat the good of the land? What are the two qualifications you need to have to eat the good of the land? Be willing and obedient. What if you're just willing? What if you're obedient but not willing? You know, I'll do it, but you can tell that they don't have the attitude to do it. They're being obedient, but they're not being willing. It's like the little boy who was being loud in class, and he was told, the teacher said, sit down. And the little boy said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. He was obedient, but he wasn't willing. So, in order to be a receiver, your obedience and your willingness has something to do with how you receive. You want to eat good. You want to be satisfied. You want God to bless. See, God guarantees his provision at your place of assignment. So wherever God has assigned you, that's where provision is. Elijah, I want you to go to the brook Cherith and drink water from there, and there I'm going to have ravens come and feed you. If Elijah would have went to the Susquehanna River, would the ravens have been there? No. Because the ravens were assigned to his place of assignment. Okay? How many has ever read Hebrews 11? That chapter is full of what kind of words? Faith words, but they're verbs. So what's a verb? A verb is an action word, right? Did you know that the actions you take will determine whether or not you receive? When Jesus came to the man with the withered hand, what did he tell him to do? Stretch your hand out. He had to take an action to receive his healing, didn't he? His hand wasn't working, but Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. The action you take will determine what you receive. So your actions influence what you receive. Okay? Go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Is this helping someone tonight? When you leave tonight, I want you to think of yourself as unstoppable. If you can receive anything that you need from God, you're unstoppable. Because guess what? Because you're a receiver and you receive things from God, the enemy can't interrupt your supply line. Think about that. You know, wars have been won. For example, the area that I grew up in Illinois, there's a state park called Starved Rock State Park. And from what I know, there's this giant rock. And there was a tribe of Indians on that rock that were starved out by another tribe because they couldn't come down and get food. Their supplies were cut off. See, so if the enemy can interrupt your supply line, he can frustrate you, but because you're a receiver and you receive from God, he can't interrupt God's supply line. If God can bring meat and bread to Elijah at a brook, don't you think that God can get you what you need wherever you are, as long as you're in the right place? All right. Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Did you know that your words, what you say, determines what you receive? You can have whatsoever you say. Right there, that ought to make you stop and think about the words that are coming out of your mouth. Okay, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The words you say and what you believe has an effect on what you receive. You want to be a receiver? What are you saying? What are you believing? What the Bible says to believe you receive and you shall have. Did you know that what you see determines what you have? You don't have to turn there, but Numbers 13. The last part of that chapter, the Israelites saw themselves as what? As grasshoppers. Did the people who saw themselves as grasshoppers receive the promised land? No. There was a couple that saw themselves as giant killers. How do you see yourself? Are you a chirping little bug that hops in the grass, or are you a giant killer? What you see determines what you have. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as defeated, and they did not receive what God wanted them to have. But here's the good news. You can change what you see. Here, let me give you a different picture. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are victorious. You are healed. You got to see yourself as healed. You got to see yourself as whole. Some of you see yourself as restless. Why don't you change your picture and see yourself peaceful? He leads me beside still waters. Picture yourself in a hammock under a shaded tree next to a bubbling brook, and the temperature's just right. You can either see yourself restless or you can see yourself peaceful. What you see determines what you have. So what you see influences what you receive. God told Abraham, he said, I'll give you all the land that you could see. And he was from the north, the south, the east, and the west. All that he could see, the Lord said, I'll give it to you. What can you see? So what you see determines what you have. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Did you know that your determination and your persistence affects your receiving? In Matthew 15, there's a story of a Syrophoenician woman. She comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is greatly vexed of the devil. Jesus didn't answer her a word. She could have quit. Then she kept on, and the disciples said, send her away, for she troubles us. Many would have quit there, but your determination and your persistence will determine what you receive. Then Jesus said, I'm sorry, but I'm called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Basically, Jesus was saying, I'm sorry, you're not of the right race. Oh, can you believe the preacher said, I wasn't of the right race. I'm never going to that church again. Then Jesus said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and feed it to dogs. That preacher called me a dog. But you know what that woman said? She said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs of the table. Her determination and her persistence led her to receive healing for her daughter. How determined are you? How persistent are you? We know the story of the woman of importunity. Midnight. You're in bed. This person is not going to quit knocking until you get up and say, look, I need some bread. I got some relatives came over, and I'm all up. I need some bread. But I think I'm mixing up two stories. The woman went to the judge, and she was persistent. She kept going after the judge, and finally she said, look, I'm gonna make my decision in your favor, because just to shut you up, per se. But you know, your determination and your persistence. Listen, if you believe or you receive, there's no reason to quit. Did the Bible say, believe you receive for an hour? Did it say, believe you receive for a week? How long should you believe for something? Till you receive it. You don't stop believing, you don't stop confessing until it is in your possession. Once it's in your possession, you don't need faith for it anymore. Once you see it and feel it, you don't need faith. Faith is for the unseen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, sometimes, see, there's nothing instant about God. God doesn't have a drive-through. You know, the kingdom of God is not like McDonald's, where you can go through a drive-through, you don't even have to leave your car, you can order a meal, and it be handed to you at a window. Thank God for remote control. You know what they used to do before they had remote controls? The parents would make the kids get up and change the channel. Hey, Doug, get up and change that channel. Do you realize before remote controls, you actually had to get up and change the channel? So sometimes we think God is like a remote control, where we just have to hit a button and poof, it'll appear, you know? No. Sometimes you have to be determined, you have to be persistent, you have to hang in there. Receivers are strong in faith. Okay? What happened? This woman went from zero faith to 60 faith in less than a second. By the end of her conversation, Jesus said, this woman has great faith. He marveled at her great faith. Just her ability to hang in there. You got to hang in there. If you want to receive, you got to hang in there. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Did you know that what you think affects how you receive? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word means be anxious. What is there anything that you should be anxious for? No. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't fret. Okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why would the Bible tell you what to think on if your thinking didn't affect your receiving? When the person prays with thanksgiving to God, what do they get? They get something that passes knowledge. What do they get? But did you know that if you don't think on the right things, you can lose the peace that God just gave you? If you let your mind just think on things that aren't true, if you're not thinking on things that are true, you're thinking on lies. Truth frees, lies bind. If you're not thinking on a good report, then you're thinking on a bad report. If you're not thinking on things that are lovely, you're thinking on things that are ugly. If you're not thinking on things that are just, you're thinking on things that are unjust or unjust. If you're not thinking on things that are pure, you're thinking on things that are what's the word? Impure, yeah. Well, I was thinking about something being diluted. You know, when something is diluted, it loses its power or its potency. Notice verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What you think on can determine what you receive. Okay? You got to think on the right things. He tells you what to think on. You don't have to wonder what to think on. Think on these things. Can it be any more simpler? Well, if I'm not supposed to think, what am I supposed to think on? Hello? Right here. He wrote it down for you. He gave you a list for everyone who loves lists. Think on these things. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Did you know that your desires affect your receiving? Why do you desire what you do? You know, God is more concerned about motives than we are. Because he's the only one that can see a human heart. He's the only one that knows what's in a person's heart. This is very clear. Someone is not receiving because, first of all, they're combative. They fight and war. That's combative. If you're a combative individual, it's going to be hard to receive from God. You fight, you kill, you have, and you cannot obtain. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. The reason you're asking for is wrong. It would be wrong for me to desire another woman to be my wife because I have my wife. But I know of situations where someone desired another person to be their spouse when they're already married to someone else. That's wrong. God's not going to answer that. You're not going to get it. Because it comes with a wrong motive, a wrong desire. Why do you want to be rich? So that you can amass things, or so that you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God? He's not against you having money. Matter of fact, he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. Amen? So we got to check our motives, our desires. Why do we want what we want? That has an effect on whether or not we receive it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. I got time for just maybe one more after this. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Did you know that your giving affects your receiving? They go together, actually. Look at verse 29. And everyone that has forsaken house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. If God asks you to leave the place where you are and go and do something for him. Sometimes we get attached to things, don't we? I spent 30 years getting the house of my dreams, and now you want me to leave it? Well, let me ask you this. Is God able to give you a better house than that one? That scripture said, if you leave houses, father, brother, and sister, mother, or lands for my name's sake, he said, you shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. You know what? Milton Hershey has over 100 houses. And I know, you know, I took that trolley ride. Thanks God for that trolley ride, because I learned a lot of things about Hershey that I didn't know. Milton Hershey gave $10,000 to 5 different churches to help them get out of debt, and those churches are still in existence today. He sold $100,000 or $50,000 in the 1930s. And they have over 100 houses on their campus. He received 100-fold. But let me tell you something. There's nothing that God would ask you to give that he would not replace. Give and what? It shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. So your giving has, it influences your receiving. He who sows sparingly shall what? Shall reap sparingly. You mean my reaping is in conjunction with my giving? Yes. Everybody's quiet on this point. I found that to be true. Every time you talk about money, people are silent. They're just looking at you, checking you out. What did Jesus get in exchange for leaving heaven? He got an entire family in two places, in heaven and in earth. And guess what? His family is still being added to. He's still having relatives join the family. What did he do? He left his home. He left heaven to come to this place. Think about it. He left a place where there was no darkness to a place that has night and day. He left a place that has no sorrow to a place that is full of sorrow. He left a place that had no limits to a place where he was limited. Can you imagine God putting on human flesh? Man, I can barely fit into this thing. How does this thing work? Because God's so big and the body's so small. Can you imagine that? You know, I got to tell you this story, then I'm going to close. I used to work for this tree company, and they supplied us with uniforms. And I had a groundsman that worked for me. And this older couple who ran the tree company, they bought him some pants, but you know, they held up these pants. He said, "Those pants are too small." But the lady said, "I want you to try them on." He said, "They're too small." She said, "I want you to try them on." He said, "They're too small." He said, "Okay, fine, I'll try them on." He tried on those pants and he was like this. He could barely walk because they were so small and tight. My point is, imagine what God gave to be a human. Going from unlimited to limits. He reaped more than 100-fold. So if you want to be a receiver, sometimes being a receiver means you got to be a giver. Because what you give for God, you will receive. Why? Because God's a giver. If he asks anything from you, it's because he wants to give you something better. Let me just... Did you know that there were towns that did not receive Jesus? He said, if you go into a town and they receive you not, what are you supposed to do? Shake the dust off your feet. Did you know that non-receivers get dust? Did you know that when Jesus came to his own did not receive him? According to John 1:11. Did you know that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit? John 14:17. There was a group of believers in Ephesus. They did not receive the Holy Spirit because they didn't hear about him. But once they heard about him, they received him. But because they didn't hear about him, they couldn't receive. Philippians 3:18, it talks about people who don't receive because they're enemies of the cross. But I'm not here in a room full of non-receivers. I'm here in a room full of receivers. And I want your receiving from God to be enhanced. Know that our God is a giver. He gives good things. He gives liberally, lavishly, lovingly. There's no good thing that he'll withhold from you if you just walk with him. You know, I'll tell you what, if you just fall in love with Jesus, can we just stand up? And can we just have a, let's just love Jesus. Let's just have a falling in love Jesus moment. All right? I just want you to enter into praise to him. Forget about who's around you, behind you, in front of you. And I want you to praise God for who he is. Hallelujah. Just focus on the Lord for just a moment. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. You're good and gracious. You're my son. You're my shield. No good thing will you withhold from me because I walk uprightly. I love you, Lord. I bless your holy and wonderful name. I give you thanks and praise. Oh, I magnify you. I worship you. I bless your holy name. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. See, right now, as you're praising him, he's downloading some things to you. You're becoming free. And maybe you're here tonight and you just need to receive something from God. Whatever it is, he's ready to give it. All you got to do is take it. And if you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray for you. We can still praise the Lord. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, just come on up right now. And I'll agree in prayer with you. And you're going to receive it tonight. Because you're a receiver. Hallelujah. We give you thanks and praise, Lord. Thank you that you give good things to all. Oh, we bless your holy name. Praise him for what you have been given, what he wants you to have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, that, Lord, that he just receives all. There's nothing blocking you from receiving from heaven or from God's good hand. Why? Because God loves you. He loves you. He loves you for who you are. He made you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. You are special to God. And because of that relationship, you just receive from him whatever it is you need. He'll give it to you right now. Oh, in Jesus' name, Father, let that anointing just come upon him right now. And Lord, he's a receiver of your love and good things in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise. Lord, that you just help him receive. Thank you, Lord, that there's an anointing upon his life to receive from heaven, receive revelation, receive understanding, receive strength, receive healing, receive power, receive. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Holy Spirit. Just help him receive right now. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that nothing is missing, nothing is broken. Lord, everything, the floodgates of heaven are opened in the name of Jesus. Oh, I just give you thanks and praise, Lord, that you enhance his receptivity in Jesus' name. And I just wipe out every negative word that has blocked and hindered him receiving from what God wants you to have in the name of Jesus. You are a son. You are a son of the King. You are a priest. You are a king. Carry yourself like a king. Carry yourself like a priest. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I call the floodgates open, and Lord, for him to receive all that he needs from you right now, in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now. Lord, that she receives. Father, she receives pictures from heaven about who you created her to be, who you called her to be, in the name of Jesus. I call her free, Father, free from all the hurt and pain, free, Father, in the name of Jesus, free by the blood of Jesus. I declare that the blood of Jesus Christ has made you free, 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 free to be who God created you to be, free to do what God created you to do and called you to do, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. You're crossing the finish line of freedom and wholeness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. We serve a good God. Get excited about God being good to you. He's good to you because he loves you. And that's never going to change. And don't you ever let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're never going to receive from God. That's a lie. I break that lie in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It is good to receive from God, because there's nothing that he will give you that will harm you or hurt you. Everything he gives you will help you, will enhance your life, will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Bless your holy name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Celebrate his goodness. God. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can just go with the joy of the Lord. Go with rejoicing in your heart and be blessed. Have a great and wonderful night. Join with me. There's a local business in our area. They just asked us to pray for them. So we're just going to pray for Boyer Signs. Father, whatever the need may be, Lord, we lift up Boyer Signs to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise that a door of opportunity will be opened for them, Lord, to hear the gospel. And if they're not saved, Lord, for them to be saved. And we just thank you, Lord, to send laborers across their path. And Lord, just lead them on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And just bless that business, Father. And we give you thanks and praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming out tonight. Have an awesome night. And a good rest of the week.